Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, what's up, Every Nation? How cool is this? Church online. I hope you got your cup of joe and you're ready to get into God's word virtually. Let me just say this. Let me just state the obvious. Is that I'm not filming from a studio. I'm filming from my office, which is really giving it way too much credit. It's really a glorified covered porch. But we really wanted the footage to be kind of raw and real where we're at right now, because we're all in this together right now, and this is kind of all our situation. And so we wanted it to feel that way. So if you hear a golden retriever barking, or God help me, a cat meowing, just think of it as the animals are crying out, hallelujah, yes and amen, good pastor, all right? Are we good? All right. Before we get going as well, I have two other things I want to address. Number one, I cannot begin to convey to you how proud I am of our church. You know, I'm just watching people blossom and rise up in this time of need, people leading and shepherding other people. They're actually starting new prayer calls and new connect groups. And so when people need God the most, it's so great to see that our church has risen up, and I just couldn't be more proud. And then lastly, and then I promise we're going to get into the word, is this. I just wanted to remind you that despite the fact we can't meet together in person, we can still be faithful in our tithes, our offering, our giving unto God. And so I like to kind of share this story with you is you know what's amazing is this time where we're kind of sequestered, or some of us are quarantined, or there's actually a curfew where we live, and so you're forced to be at home with your family. And it's funny that my wife and I have been uniquely prepared for this situation, because we're both introverts, we're both homebodies, aka nerds, so our life hasn't changed at all. So we've been uniquely equipped for this situation, and I gotta tell you this, if you're a tither and a giver, you are uniquely positioned and equipped for this time of economic uncertainty. Because if you're a tither and a giver, God promises that He's the one that's going to rebuke the devourer on your behalf. He's the one that's going to throw open the windows of heaven, and somehow, some way, He's going to pour out a blessing into your life. And so I firmly believe that. While we can't gather, you can still be faithful in your giving. You can just go online, encnj.org, click on the icon for giving, and it'll let you know how to do it there. Or you can give via PushPay, and you just need to text ENCNJ to 77977. ENCNJ to 77977. May God richly bless and watch over you as you give. And so now let me get into kind of update of where we've been at in our society, in our culture, in our time. I don't know if how many of you know it, but last Tuesday it was St. Patrick's Day. And normally there'd be a lot of festivities. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the reality that that we celebrate the life of St. Patrick by having ridiculous parades. Usually, if we're honest, people are getting just smashed and hammered out of their mind. And then we pinch people if they're not wearing green. Apparently, I'm representing today with my jet green on. But kind of a ridiculous way that we celebrate St. Patrick's life. If you're familiar with his life, you would be blown away to hear what a man of God this was. Here's what's crazy. He's the patron saint of Ireland, despite the fact he wasn't Irish at all. He was actually from Britain, and so he was a Brit. And his story goes like this. As a young man, he was a very nominal Christian, just kind of, whatever, lukewarm, if you will, until at the age of 16, he was accosted, kidnapped by Irish pirates. Who knew there was such a thing as Irish pirates? and they abducted young Patrick, and they took him back to Ireland, and they enslaved him. So I'm sure you can imagine when your life starts falling apart, it really creates a crossroads in your life to figure out, okay, you're either going to lean into Jesus or you're going to run from Jesus. And Patrick, in that moment, he decided, I need to get real with the Lord. And Jesus Christ became the rock of his salvation and the rock of his life, and saw him through this difficult time. And after a series of events, he would rise to prominence in Ireland and be the patron saint of Ireland. He would bring the gospel, the rock of Jesus Christ, to Ireland. And so it's interesting, through this COVID-19, I think we find ourselves at a crossroad, because I think that there's many people that you have a nominal relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is kind of our crossroads to decide, hey, who is Jesus to you? Is he truly the rock upon which you build your life? Or is he just some kind of good luck charm where you'd like to go to church and so then just you hope God blesses you? And so it's funny, this question Jesus actually asks, he asks in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. I'll read it for us right now. Hopefully it's coming up on the screen. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, says this: Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, and so pay attention to that location. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. But it says, Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And I need to stop here for a minute, because I think this is so hilarious. It's amazing in your New Testament when God's people, who should know who Jesus is, they ask, who do you think Jesus is? They're like, he's John the Baptist. No, he's Elisha. No, he's Jeremiah. And no one knows knows the identity of Jesus Christ except one group of people. And you know who those people are? The demons. How crazy is that? That the demons never get it wrong. When they see Jesus, they immediately reply, we know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the fact that the disciples never seem to get it right, it brings me comfort for my own life. Let's get back to our text. Verse 15, it says, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's what's amazing. If you're familiar with the life of Peter, Peter never gets it right in the scriptures. He's constantly being rebuked or missing it or say, where's your faith? But this is Peter's moment. He gets it right and nails it. He says, you're the Christ. But before Peter gets too full of himself, five verses after this, Jesus is going to rebuke him and call him the devil. So Peter, enjoy your moment right now. But he gets it right and nails it here. Verse 17, it says this, and Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. The name Peter means rock or rocky. And it says this, on this rock, that rock he's speaking of is the rock of the revelation of who Jesus is. He says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so remember, I told you to remember that place, Caesarea Philippi. And a number of years ago, I had just the extreme privilege of going to Israel just on a tour of the Holy Land. And it was such a thrill, because all these places I'd been reading about for decades suddenly came to life for me. And it was funny, when we went on this trip, I went with a number of the New York Jets. They were supposed to come with me on this trip to visit the Holy Land. And at the last minute, they couldn't come. And so I was the only one who went. And we were staying at a very nice hotel in Jerusalem. And as we were staying there, the manager of the hotel was a big New York Jets fan, and he had heard some of the players were coming. So anyways, we got there. And he must have thought I was a player. I don't know how he would have thought that. Because he gave me the presidential suite in this place. It was literally multiple floors. Like there was an upstairs. And when I walked in the room, there was this cake. And it had the New York Jets emblem on the front of it. And if you're thinking to yourself, hey, Pastor, shouldn't you have told them that you didn't play for them? And yeah, you're right. I probably should have. But I didn't. And that's neither here nor there. We're going to get into the word right now. Caesarea Philippi, that's where we were. We actually took a tour to Caesarea Philippi. It's in the northern region of Israel. And it's amazing. The tour guide took us to this mountainous area. And there's the side of this enormous cliff where there is this huge cave bore into the side of this cliff. And on that cave was what was known as the gates of hell. And it was where pagans would go to worship Baal. They would sacrifice children and stuff there. They also came to that location and they would worship the god Pan. Now, Pan was this mythical god. He was half man, half goat. And he was the god of chaos. And it's where we get the term panic. It's from the god Pan. And I just can't help but notice in the kind of the atmosphere we're in right now, there's like panic is everywhere. But I want to just say, just like the gates of hell won't prevail against Christ and his church, because we have a hold of the rock. And God's people, God's children, that we have a firm foundation during time when the world is panic around us, we are going to be that steadfast people on firm ground, the rock of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage us with that. And so if you think that's the end of the sermon, you're wrong. Listen, buckle up. I got one more section I want to read to you. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And it's a familiar passage. Before we do, I want to give you some context. And I need to get a little drink of brew. So I hope you have some coffee with you as we enjoy God's word together. But what I wanted to do was give us some context. Matthew 7 is the very end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Probably his most exhaustive, extensive sermon that he gave. And because it's the last portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we can be assured of this. This is Jesus' key message towards everything he said prior to this. And here's what Jesus is going to highlight. He's going to say this: there's two types of people. That's all there is. There are those that hear and do the words of Jesus, and then there's everybody else. And here's what he's going to say. He's going to say, the storms of life are going to determine what type of person you are. And so I'm going to read that right now, Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. Jesus says this: everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. A few observations from this text that I really think are going to help us where we're at now. First observation is this. Do you know the storms don't discriminate? That it's, if you built your house on a rock, on the sand, doesn't matter. The storms are life of coming. And so you and I, we live in a Genesis 3, a fallen world where sin was interjected into the cosmos and it shattered the peace of God, the design of God for the earth. And so there's sickness, there's disease. So whether you're a Christian or not, the storms of life will come, but only the followers, those who hear and do the word of God, we have the firm foundation to see us through every storm. And if I can let you in on some other good news, at the end of the book, we realize this: God's going to fix the entire world. And one day he's going to remove every virus, every sickness, every disease. He's going to wipe every tear from our eye, and we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And so build your life on that truth and that reality. Number two is this. It says that the rain fell. The rain fell. And so let me give you this this little kind of saying, if you will. Too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Too much of a good thing, it really can be a bad thing. And so I referenced our trip to Israel. And so you realize in the Middle East, in that climate, water is unbelievably precious and valuable. In fact, our tour guide actually highlighted the fact that he said, hey, if we're going to have plenty of water bottles for you, but he says, please don't leave half-drunk water bottles laying around. He says it's insulting to our people. And just because of that, I just want to highlight and shame Pastor Dottie Flanagan right now, because Pastor Dottie is notorious to take water, take a little sip of it, and then never to drink any more of it. Shame on you, Pastor Dottie. Back to our message. It says this, so too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Rain in the Middle East is precious and is a good thing. However, too much rain at one time can be destructive and detrimental. And in the same way for you and I in our lives, that too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. And so God, in his common grace, he gives us so many good things. Like the Bible says this, how about this, that God says that wine is a good thing to make man's heart merry. That God says that sex is a good and precious gift from God in the context of marriage. That food is a good gift from God, meant to be partaken with one another and to fill our souls. And so there's all these good things that God gives to his people. But if you take those good things and you consume too much of it, it could become deadly and a horrible thing for you and for your life. So for example, sex, if it becomes the dominant characteristic of your life, or you become consumed with it, it becomes lust and adultery, and your life will begin to unravel. That food, if you consume too much of it, you're going to be unhealthy. You'll have no vitality on you, and you'll die young. It becomes gluttony. Wine, too much of it becomes drunkenness, alcoholism, and as well, it starts to unravel your life. Too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. In fact, this last week, I love to work out, and it's amazing how a good thing can become a bad thing. So all the gyms closed here in New Jersey on Monday. It was the last day to work out. And so I was in my gym working out, and there's this young lady in there who works out. And can I just say, this woman is a beast. Like, she works out, she's all ripped up and all this, and she's very faithful about working out. And she's kind of shy, she doesn't usually talk, but she called me over while I was working out. She says, I need to talk to you. And she had this look of panic on her life. And I walked over her, I removed my headphones, and I said, what can I do for you? And she just looked at me with terror, and she said, what are we gonna do? They're gonna close the gym. And so I was like, all right, pump the brakes, it's going to be okay. And so you can see the gym, which is a good thing to stay healthy and to exercise, had become something far more than that to her. When something good becomes your God or your identity, it's out of line. And the reality is this, is that you and I have been created for one ultimate purpose, person to sit at the center of our life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, what's happening in our life is in 2020, our lives had become so fast, and we've allowed these good things to crowd out our relationship with God. Till we're to the point now where God has been pushed out of the equation of many of our lives, and he's just been replaced with sports, leisure, work, play, all these different things, and God gets the leftovers. If you think about it, we've been actually socially distancing God for years now. And so my appeal to us during this COVID-19 pandemic as the world's kind of been forced to be unplugged and slow down, honestly, it's somewhat of this massive reset that you and I can begin to reset the priorities of our life, and we can reorient our life around God and make Him center and foremost and let everything else fall in behind. Let me look at point number three is this. It says that the floods came. The floods came. Here's my little anecdotal thing is, hey, don't go with the flow. Don't go with the flow. You're not even aware of it, but there's a flow. There's a current to what the Bible would call this world. And if that current is leading you downstream further and further away from God. And so unless you're deliberately trying to engage and grab hold of the rock of Jesus Christ, you're going to be drawn backwards. You're going to drift away. Do you know the reasons why this COVID-19 is so contagious and has been spreading so fast is because the symptoms are so subtle. And so is the current of this world. It's subtle. But if you're not actively trying to pursue Jesus before you know it, He's not even going to be in sight or in view for you. And so to avoid the flood of life coming against us and actually just destroying our world, we need to get high. Maybe I should rephrase that, because some of you are like, wow, Pastor said we have to get high. No. Here's what I'm saying is you have to get to the high grounds in life to avoid the floods. But before you can go high, you got to go deep. You got to go deep before you can go high. So my family and I, we've been binge watching HGTV to the point where I believe I can literally quote every episode of Fixer Upper, Chip and JoJo. There's a show, Homes on Homes. I've been watching that. How many have seen Property Brothers? That's with those two twin brothers. And for the record, have you ever noticed they're demoing houses and the guy's hair's all put together, not an ounce of sweat or dirt on him. I don't believe he's really demoing those places, but that's neither here nor there. But every one of those home shows, they always make one thing clear. You can only go as high as the foundation will allow them. If you remember after the tragic events of 9/11, that New Yorkers and Americans in general were determined to build the Freedom Tower higher than ever before. And so we did that. We built the Freedom Tower. And if you're from Chicago, sorry about this. They actually put the spear on the top of the Freedom Tower just so we could get a little bit higher than the Sears Tower that's in Chicago. So if you're from Chicago, you lose, New York wins, okay? But in order for the Freedom Tower to go up, it had to go unbelievably deep in its foundation. And what a gift we have right now, that we can take this time to start having our foundations in Christ to go deep, to run deep. And so as our worlds have kind of slowed down a little bit, I pray you're taking this time to go deep with God, to create new patterns and new rhythms of your day. Do you know this, that neuroscience has told us this, that there's kind of, when we wake up the first 20 minutes of our day, we're in what's called the alpha state. And so it becomes this kind of super highway to our subconscious mind. And so the first 20 minutes, whatever you consume is going to begin to form your subconscious mindset, how you see the world and how you see yourself. And so how critical is it that we create a pattern of going deep with God first thing in the morning so that we can begin to form our subconscious mind with the Word of God? It's making our foundation to go deep, that when life, the floods of life hit, we're able to immediately go up high to the highlands with God. I don't know if you've ever seen those like Planet Discovery and Discover Planet, these things, I love watching them. And I remember seeing this episode where they had the mountain goats, and they were able to climb these sheer faces of a mountain, and they begin to ascend. And you're like, how are they doing that? And in the same way that as you go deep, God will teach you to go high. David, in Psalm chapter 18, He says this, the Lord has become my rock. And he says, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer, that I can ascend to the heights. And as people see you when the floods of life come in, that you're ascending up, rising above these difficulties, they're going to be like, how are they doing that? And you can point them to Jesus, the rock. And then number four is this. It says that the winds began to blow. The winds blew. So let me say it this way. The wind's going to blow whether you like it or not. The wind will blow, but you have a choice. You can do one of two things. You can decide to spit into the wind. And can I just tell you, that always goes bad. Or you can harness the wind. So here's what I mean by that is I see some people when the winds of life come beating against people, some people choose to raise their fist at God and rail. Why, God, why? And so you can choose to do that. But then I would challenge you with this. So if God gets all the blame for what's bad in your life, who gets all the glory for all that's good and right in your life? And so, for example, I have two healthy daughters. And so if I'm going to say, why, God, did COVID-19 do what it's doing? I better be saying, God, my daughters are healthy. Why me, God? My wife and I have been married for 30 years. Why me, God? Why me? I'm presently in great health. I feel great. I have energy and vitality. God, why me? And so if God's going to get all the blame, he better get all the glory for all that's good and right in your life. And then this, some people rail against their circumstances. And so you just become consumed of all that's wrong and broken in your life, and you just fixate on that. Do you know what? You're spitting into the wind. You're actually piling on your own dread, and it's spiraling your life down into despair. Don't do that. Don't spit into the wind. Harness the wind. You can harness the wind of God. And so I got to share this story. We were, my family and I were on vacation somewhere in the Caribbean. And so my kind of routine, I'll get my morning workout and then I'll go eat an enormous amount of food. And then I like to walk the beach, kind of walk it off, and I'll pray and listen to worship. And I remember as I'm walking the Caribbean, this one trip in particular, I saw a guy kite surfing. I don't know if you've seen this, not windsurfing, but kite surfing. And so it's this giant kite sail thing in the air, and it really gets the individual whipping across the ocean. And I could tell this guy had not been kite surfing very long. So he's kind of new at it, a little bit shaky. And just to be honest with you, I got my iPhone out, and I'm going to videotape this guy because he's about to get blown up in the ocean. And I saw this enormous wave coming his way, and I could see him starting to shake a little bit. And as this wave approached him, suddenly he shifts the kite. It catches this burst of air. It lifts him off the ground. He jumps the wave, does a 360 spin, and boom, he sticks the landing. Are you kidding me? I was like, bro, that was amazing. That was fantastic. And in the same way, do you know, as the wind, you can harness the wind of God. God's given us his Holy Spirit, the breath of God or the wind of God. I don't know if you know this, but he's called the Counselor, that he can guide and counsel and direct us to navigate difficult times. He's called our Comforter when we're feeling discouraged by our circumstances and our situation. He's there to speak truth and life over us. He is the wind of God. We can harness the wind of God if you'll lean into the Holy Spirit. You know, David became an expert in this. You remember him, King David? You know, 1 Samuel 30 tells the story of his village at Ziklag was there, and all David's goods, his finances, his people were stationed at Ziklag. And David and his mighty men went out to a battle. And there was a raid took place. And in an instant, everything David and his mighty men had was gone, stolen from them in a moment. And David, he just began to bottom out in that moment. And even his very own men spoke of stoning him. But David knew something. He knew he could harness the wind of God. And it says this, that David began to encourage himself in the Lord. That word is the word chazak in Hebrew. It means to strap on courage and strength. And so he began to listen to the Holy Spirit, harness the Holy Spirit until faith arose in his life. And he was promised by the Spirit of God, everything is going to be returned to you and then some. And sure enough, it was. And so we need to learn how to harness the wind. And so here's my last point, and we'll say amen, is this, is I want to be crystal clear. I think COVID-19 is from the pit of hell. It's a part of a broken, sinful world. But it has given us this opportunity, dare I say, this gift. And here's what it is. See, COVID-19 is like, it's like the rain, the flood, and the wind. But the gift it's doing is it's going to reveal where your foundation and my foundation is. And I pray that we would make that foundation the rock of Jesus Christ. My final story is this. If you've been out and about, if Christians did such thing as we're supposed to be social distancing, but if you've gone to the grocery store, and if you've ever been down an aisle and someone sneezes, tell me every head doesn't turn and look at that individual. It's almost offensive now. But if you pay attention, we've always been trained that when someone sneezes, what do you say? God bless you, or just bless you. I want to tell you the origins of that. You know, back in the 6th century, there was another pandemic that hit the world. It was the bubonic plague. And there was hundreds of millions of people that were dying from this plague, this pandemic. And yet Pope Gregory, he issued an edict to all of God's people that when you hear somebody sneeze, you're immediately to turn and to face them and speak a word of blessing, the blessing of Jesus the Christ over their life. And here's what I want to do here as we close. I want to speak a blessing over you and your life. And so if you just pray with me, Lord, I thank you just for this common grace of technology that we can gather around your word as a people. And now, Lord, I just want to speak a word of life, speak a word of blessing, speak the firm foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ over our people. Father, I speak a word of blessing over our people's health. Lord, I speak a word of blessing over our people's family. Lord, I speak a word of blessing over our people's finances and of their job. Lord, I bless them now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.